Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Messenger, Watchman, Declare and Contend. And I'm going to be sharing with you from the book of Amos what are listed as being the fourth, fifth, and sixth chapters of Amos. So beginning with what is listed as chapter 4, hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness that, lo, the days shall come upon you, that he will take you away with hooks, and your posterity with fish hooks, and ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress at Gilgal. Multiply transgression and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses. And I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. So beginning again with what is listed as being chapter 4 of Amos. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan. Kine being cattle. Kine is a term that was used with regard to Joseph, the next to youngest son of Jacob, Israel, when he was taken into captivity down into Egypt, and he had a vision sometime thereafter, quite a while thereafter, 13 years later, and about the good kine and the evil kine, speaking of well-favored cattle and starving cattle, but kine is referring to that. Ye kine of Bashan. Bashan being likened to more than one thing, but it is a place. And the land of Israel, when I say the land of Israel, I'm not referring to the modern state of Israel, which is only a fraction of the area that God gave the children of Israel. But the land of Israel back then was not a large land, but it was much more expansive than it is now. It included what is referred to as the West Bank, which is always made out to be non-Israeli territory. It included that. It included the East Bank, well into the east. It included the southern portion, which is supposedly only, you know, the Palestinians, not Israel. The royal cities of the Philistines and so forth. And it included up into Lebanon. But again, it was still small. It just wasn't as tiny as it is today. But Bashan, kine of Bashan, cattle of this area, an area that is linked with idolatry, but nonetheless, all of the land given to the children of Israel was pervaded by idolatry when God gave it to them. And they were to drive all of that out, but instead they ended up adopting so very much of it. But hear this word, ye kine of Bashan that are in the mountain of Samaria or Samaria, whichever you prefer, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. Now the poor and the needy referred to here, these were not people that were recipients of entitlements or were demanding reparations or something else. But these were poor, servile people. And this included Hebrews. Hebrews who were, in fact, in many instances, many cases, enslaved by fellow Hebrews, and worse yet, sold into slavery to non-Hebrews. God forbid the Hebrews to ever enslave one another. Forbid them to. It didn't keep it from happening, though. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness that, lo, the days shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Now, the children of Israel, meaning not just the kingdom of Israel, but the kingdom of Judah, after the kingdom was divided, the people, the Hebrews, the children of Israel, were taken into captivity time and time again. Taken here, it says, with hooks. With fish hooks. Now, whether this is figurative language or literal, in any case, they were taken into captivity. And they were crushed under the boot of one regime after another. They were oppressed and crushed by the Philistines, or Philistines, if you prefer. They were invaded and overthrown and enslaved by the Babylonian Chaldaic Empire. they were afflicted and brought low by the Egyptians and by the Assyrians and by the Syrians. And they suffered greatly too from the Amalekites and the Ammonites and the Moabites and from Edom. But interestingly enough, when Jesus walked, the Pharisees, the scribes, the doctors of the law, who were so intellectually honest after all, they insisted to Jesus that they were the children, the sons of Abraham, and they had never been subject to any people. They had never been subjugated. They had never been enslaved. Never. Such outrageous liars. But they were in a position of leadership, and they thought that they could, you know, spin any lie. The more spectacular the lie, the more likely it was to be believed. One thing for some poor, ignorant, servile person, servant, or slave to believe such lies, but to imagine that Jesus would. But ye shall go out at the breaches. At the breaches, yes. Because the walled city, the fortress city of Jerusalem was broken. Broken, broken, broken. The wall all broken down. Initially, there were breaches which the enemies poured through. But then, after they had fully put down the Jews, they broke the entire city to pieces and burned it to the ground. The Babylonian Chaldaic invaders. Come to Bethel and transgress. Why is that? Well, Bethel, God was supposed to be worshipped at Bethel at one time. But lo and behold, the children of Israel decided to engage in idol worship instead. And so they erected idols. And Bethel became, or Bethel became, a place to resort to worship these idols instead of going to Jerusalem to worship God. At Gilgal, multiply transgression and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. After 3 years, well, God made allowance for people being significant distances from Jerusalem. But man made other arrangements. Yes, the ungodly among the priests and so forth, they came up with their own rules. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. With leaven, not without leaven, but with leaven. So for the Passover feast, not only was leaven not used in the bread, not only was the bread unleavened, but all leaven was cast out of the households. But here, offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. And proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. This liketh you. This is the way you do things. Diametrically contrary to my word, contrary to my commandments, you come up with your own ways, your own rules, your own regulations, your own doctrines, your own commandments, which in fact contradict mine. This was rampant in Jewry at the time that Jesus walked on this earth, but it certainly predated that time. It goes all the way back. There was always this kind of rebellion against God. Modern day Jewry, whether it happens to be the ultra-Orthodox, Hasidim and so forth, and Orthodox, and conservative, and reform, and liberal, all the way down to that. It's just absolutely rife, all of it. Even the ultra-Orthodox is rife with man-made rules and regs. Man-made commandments, man-made law, instead of God's, which takes the place of God's, which contradicts God's, it supplants God's word, God's law, it undermines God's law. This was true again among all the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the doctors of the law, when Jesus walked on this earth. And it's only snowballed and become more profound. But lest you imagine that I am picking on the Jews. These passages pertain to the Jews, but as I've said before, prophecies throughout the Bible, they have referred to a people, a person, a family, a tribe, a nation, a people at one point in time, but they also almost invariably refer to other people at other times, in other places. And so this is true today. This pertains not just to the Jews, but to Christians and to Catholics and what have you. This matter of making their own laws, their own doctrines, their own dogmas, not only their own, but ones that directly contradict and conflict with God's. This is true throughout Catholicism. The Catholic fictions that fly in the face of biblical truth are too numerous for me to ever cover in just one program. Indeed, on a website that I have that is a text website that I started long ago, and I principally did long ago, I have one feature after another on Catholicism, just from my observations. But another day on that. But it's true in Protestant Christianity as well. It is. Same thing. Man's doctrines, man's teaching, man's dogmas. It's rampant throughout Protestant Christianity. No, not just the apostate churches, not just the really heretical ones and the abominable ones, but mainstream Christianity, mainstream and fundamental and what have you. But back to this. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. We find this God saying this same refrain over and over and over again. These people, his chosen people, to whom pertain the prophecies and the promises, and to whom was given the word of God, and they sinned grievously against God, rebelled against God in so many numerous ways, embraced the devil worship of the heathens and pagans around them instead of worshiping God, did monstrous evils. And God punished them and afflicted them, and they refused to repent. They refused to return to God. Over and over and over and over again, he chastens them, and he sends prophets to them, whom they typically not only persecute, but seek to murder. And also I have withholden the rain from you. When there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. They could not slake their thirst. There wasn't enough water to go around. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. This is mentioned any number of times in the Old Testament. Egypt is synonymous with terrible diseases and a variety of them. I have sent among you the pestilence, the epidemics, the pandemics that have spread to you that are native to Egypt. Plagues, diseases associated with sexual immorality, perhaps. Your young men have I slain with the sword. In battle, in war, the young men have been slaughtered. They have fallen before their enemy. Your young men have I slain with the sword and have taken away your horses. Your horses that you take pride in, your cavalry. These horses that you increased to yourself from Egypt, and chariots, which God forbid the children of Israel to have. But they knew better. They were not to have a king. They were not to have monarchy, royals. It was to be a theocracy. It was to be under God. It was to be led by the priests who would be the judges. But the people wanted to imitate and copy the heathens, the pagans, the devil worshipers, the child murderers around them. Outstanding. Unbelievable, but true. Oh, no, well, we can have some wonderful Jewish scholar come in, some rabbi, and this, that, and the other, and tell us that this is not so. It is so. It is so. And I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. What is the stink of the camps? The camps being the camps of the soldiers. What is the stink? Is it just from being unwashing? Engaging in battle and not washing for days and weeks and months? Is that all it is? Is it just the stink from latrines? No. This is the stink, the stench of wounded men. That's what it is. It's the stench of wounded, dying men and dead men. And yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Though he filled the nostrils of the people of Israel with this stench, but much worse than the stench, the realization of the devastation, of the slaughter of their once proud armies. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. This is an unbelievably strange passage because God is speaking by his spirit, by his angel, take your pick, because it varies from one portion of scripture to another, but speaking to his prophet either by the Holy Ghost or by an angel. And it says, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew. But this is God speaking. So God is saying, God has overthrown some of you as God overthrew. So it is, it is strange wording, but God is saying that he overthrew some of you, some of the children of Israel, as he overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. He overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah suddenly and exceeding violently. But what did he use to overthrow Sodom and Gomorrah? Did he use armies? Did he use pestilence, disease, epidemics, pandemics? Did he use drought and famine and dehydration and exposure to the elements? Did he use noisome beasts? These are all judgments of God, but no. He did a different thing, a new thing. And he overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. And if we go back to the beginning, comparatively, of the Old Testament, we go back to Genesis. Following the flood that covered the earth, which drowned all living except for Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, and the animal species that were spared, and presumably sea creatures. After the waters had abated, and Noah and his family finally went forth of the ark, God Almighty gave them a promise. He made a covenant that he would never cover the earth with water again, to completely cover it, inundate it, drown the earth with water again. No, that the next time it would be with fire. And he gave the rainbow as a signet or a sign of his covenant that he made with man, that he made with Noah. Of course, this day and age, the Sodomites have appropriated the rainbow as some symbol of theirs for depth and diversity, which is in point of fact, dearth of godliness, of goodness, of righteousness, of decency, of morality, of character, and perversity of sexuality and of relationship, of family, and of love. But Sodom and Gomorrah, from which we get the name Sodomite, which, contrary to the old blue laws of the colonies and of the early states, contrary to the ignorance evident there, sodomy referred only to male with male, female with female, sexually. Sexual perversion between like sexes, between men and between women, between man and man, or man and man and man, and so forth, and between woman and woman, and woman and woman and woman. Sexual perversion. That is what sodomy is. And we get that word, sodomite, and sodomy, from Sodom and Gomorrah. And God was so furious with the people of Sodom and Gomorrah that he not only destroyed them, he obliterated them. And he did so not one of the ways of his four sore judgments, but he came up with a new judgment to express his absolute rage at this abomination. So how fitting is it that here in the United States of America of today, and the UK, the enlightened UK, and Canada, and Australia, and all of the British Commonwealth, and all of the European continent, and Scandinavia, and Israel, and so forth, that sodomy is so not only tolerated, but respected. It is required to be respected, honored, and taught, and promoted to children. That's right. The latest laws in the UK, in Great Britain, require not only that children be taught about sodomy, about homosexuality, but that it be championed, that it be promoted, down to kindergartners. Oh, but toleration of evil, that's the ultimate Christian virtue. But see, you know the old saw, the old saying, give them an inch and they'll take a mile. But God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and God overthrew some of the children of Israel as he overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah, these were not Israelites. These were not Hebrews. This predated that. Lot went and lived in Sodom and Gomorrah to the destruction of his family, the nephew of Abraham. But now these were heathen, pagan peoples of that region. And God says that he overthrew some of the children of Israel as he overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. So God Almighty brought down fire and brimstone upon some of the children of Israel. Why would he do such a thing? Well, maybe it had to do with some of them slaughtering their babies in sacrifice to Baal and Molech, devils of the heathens and pagans, and so forth. Maybe that. Maybe the fact that sodomy came to be accepted, not just tolerated, accepted and embraced to the extent that sodomites were permitted to build encampments around the tabernacle and then around the temple. They got VIP residential standing. It's like giving a bad analogy, but permit me to make it. It's like when we've had these various different movements here in this country during the past couple decades in which this group or that group, let's say homeless people, are then permitted to set up residential camps in prime areas as far as around city government, town government, in places of principal tourist attractions and what have you. There are countless examples of this, but Israel did this with the Sodomites. They elevated them to that extent. And God Almighty, interestingly enough, overthrew some of the children of Israel as he had overthrown Sodom and Gomorrah. And ye, you children of Israel, were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, as if you were snatched out of the fire. Those that did not die, that were not consumed, and yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Now, God in saying this, it's not a matter of I'm going to come down and I'm going to live with you, I'm going to be in your presence, and we're going to celebrate and so forth. No. Prepare to meet thy God means prepare to die. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. And he's holy, unlike these demons and devils of the heathens and pagans, whose values we modern people have embraced as being superior, more enlightened than those of the righteous, just, holy God. We've come such a long way. Now, what's listed as being chapter 5. Hear ye this word, which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the seven stars in Orion and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name, that strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. For as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and ye take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord! To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies, though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings. I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Kion, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. So again, beginning with what is listed as the fifth chapter of Amos. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. Time and again, God Almighty refers to the virgins, the fair young virgins, who in essence are made widows because of the slaughter of the young men in the armies who should have become their husbands, who should have taken these young women to wife. That's not to say that is what the Lord is referring to here, however. This can be viewed a number of different ways, but owing to lack of time, I'll go forward and then I'll come back to it, except to say also this can refer to the essence of Israel. Israel was to be, well, Israel was God's chosen and was to be a pillar of virtue, not a perpetual virgin like the nonsense of Catholicism with Mary, but was to be righteous and virtuous and just and merciful and loving and God-fearing and God-honoring, none of which it became or it remained. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. 1/10 surviving, 1/10 remaining, a remnant of only 1 out of 10. 90%, God is saying here, are slaughtered. You could say, well, no, it doesn't say slaughtered. That's what it's referring to. I could say slaughtered and or went into captivity, but that's not true, because after the slaughter, then the armies come in and gather up the rest and take them into captivity. So 90% slaughtered, 10% captive. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me and ye shall live. Seek ye me, seek God, and ye shall live. A very different thing from reject God, oppose God, resist God, improve upon God. Right? Create your own gods. Man is the measure of all things. Man is so superior. Man's values are so superior to God's. Man's laws are so superior to God's. And of course, when I say man's, I'm including woman's. Oh, yes, so superior. Man's understanding is so superior to God's. Don't you think so? That's why our nation and our world are as corrupt and profane and vile and lewd and unjust and wicked and violent and terrible as they are. Now, wait a minute. Who's to say they're all that bad? But seek ye me and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel. nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. Do not seek idols to worship. Do not seek false gods to worship. Do not seek false religions. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught, to nothing, to nothing. And so too shall every false god, every false religion, every demonic, devilish philosophy and vain religion and vain philosophy and vain teaching of man. Seek the Lord and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it. And there be none to quench it in Bethel. The house of Joseph here is referring to the house of Ephraim and the house of Manasseh. The two tribes that are both Joseph. Joseph's named after Joseph's sons, the house of Joseph. Joseph died in Egypt after serving the people of Israel and serving the people of Egypt, saving them as well, because God worked it out that way. That's how he brought him to power, was to save the Egyptians. And he used it to save the children of Israel. Seek the Lord and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Why the house of Joseph? Well, Ephraim of Joseph was at the apex or the epitome of the kingdom of Israel after the division of the two kingdoms, after the division of the kingdom into two kingdoms, and is representative of the kingdom of Israel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. This is what God likens our justice system to. Our justice and judgment here in the United States of America and all of the free nations, the Western nations that have absolutely no clue what justice and judgment are and are abhorrent and an offense to God. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. God Almighty commanded his people, the leaders of his people, to execute righteous judgment and justice, and to exercise loving kindness. Two different concepts, and they were supposed to do both, and they did neither. But miscarriage of justice, corruption and perversion of justice is not mercy and loving kindness. Far from it. Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning. In Revelation, in the book of Revelation, the seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. But instead, I mentioned on another program, a different program, my news talk program, after all is said and done, that according to that great authority, Publishers Clearinghouse, approximately 100 million Americans read their horoscope every day. And I imagine some of them imagine that they are Christians, even though they are engaging in worship of devils, even though they are engaging in forbidden practice. Not merely forbidden by God, but condemned by God. But seek him that maketh the seven stars in Orion and turneth the shadow of death into the morning. Satan doesn't do that. No, he turns the morning into the shadow of death. But God turneth the shadow of death into the morning. He can. But if he is sufficiently provoked, of course, it can go the other way. As he says in his next words, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name, that strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. But elsewhere in God's word in the Old Testament, we have God speaking of doing just the opposite because of the wickedness of the people of Israel, that he will war against them. He will turn their swords against them. So again, it can go the other way. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. So it has always been. The righteous and faithful and true prophets were persecuted hellishly, and many of them tortured, and many of them slaughtered. The false prophets, they had a very rich, luxurious, rosy life. Until they didn't. You know, such as when Israel or Judah were overthrown, and so forth. But for as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and ye take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions. I know your exceeding abundant transgressions, and your mighty sins, your terrible sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe. The just, Jesus, is referred to time and again as the just, the righteous one, the just one, the just. Interesting here that this includes this sentence fragment, they afflict the just, referring to Jesus. And the next words, they take a bribe, which is, of course, one way to look at it with regard to Judas Iscariot. You may not call that a bribe. Blood money, payoff, I mean, use what terminology you prefer. But they paid him to betray Jesus to them so that they could take Jesus in the absence of the multitudes. And they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. So they robbed and afflicted the poor. Of course, Jesus is also referred to as the poor, but the church, the early church, the apostles and followers, disciples in Jerusalem are referred to as the poor also. But that's not just, that's not exclusive to them by any means. This makes me think of the inner city gangs, the vicious, ruthless inner city gangs that until the massive influx of Mexicans into this nation and now those from Central America and so forth, the gangsters that have come along with the migrant workers and what have you, that until the influx of these cartels and vicious gangsters from south of the border, that the inner cities in latter 20th century was typically the domain of blacks, African Americans, whatever term you prefer to use. And the gangs that sprang up were black and preyed upon the black people. And the families that they preyed upon were, to a very great extent, families headed up by women, single mothers or grandmothers, elderly people and children, little children, being preyed upon by the strong, lusty, thug young men. It also brings to mind the churches in the poor communities, whether inner city, whether rural America, whether poor suburbs, what have you. The worst of these churches, pastored by men who prey upon poor people, not serve poor people, but prey upon them. I am not saying that all of the churches in these poor places, that is the case. But it is not uncommon. And this brings that to mind for me. They turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time. For it is an evil time. It is an evil time. It was an evil time back then. Jesus, when he walked, he said it was an evil time. He said, this is an evil time. But this time that we're in is ever so much more evil. Also, with regard to preying upon the poor, as it says in the New Testament, as it says in the Gospels, about these Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees and doctors of the law, and it says it in the Old Testament and it says it in the New, about them preying upon the widows, taking the widows' houses from them, preying upon the poor. Who would think that you could be enriched by preying upon the poor? I would think it would be preying upon the rich. But amazingly enough, not always the case by any means. Whatever is the easy mark, whoever are the vulnerable, helpless people, and easily preyed upon. And many times that is the poor. Especially in places like Washington, D.C., where they are prohibited from defending themselves from the predators. Or in the U.K., anywhere in the U.K., and so forth. Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good. And establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. But it's also written that the evil hate the good, and the good hate the evil. And as the evil are abomination to the good are abomination to the evil. Truly. But if we embrace and respect and honor and condone and reward and promote the evil, is that going to appease them and cause them not to hate us? No. No, it doesn't work that way. They will just despise us for being such weak-minded fools. Hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Again, this matter that when judgment is pronounced and when judgment falls, that doesn't mean to refuse to repent and to cry out to God. And yet, time and again, the children of Israel did that. They would say, no, there's no hope. So we'll eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, instead of turning to God. Therefore, the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandman to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing, and in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. The Lord will pass through, but again, not to cause celebrating, no. Not to bring peace and joy, no. But judgment, punishment. For I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. There are certain groups. One comes particularly vividly to mind. It is a large, wealthy, aggressive cult. And the leadership, its historical leadership, profane, as you might imagine. But anyway, it glories in time to come. Its own twisted version of the time to come and of judgment. And when God pronounces judgment, when God pronounces punishment for evil, it is not only to forewarn people so they know what's coming. It's to cause them to turn to God and to be saved. It's to cause them to be spared, to survive, not to be destroyed. But the Lord God here says, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is going to be terrible because it is a time of judgment and punishment of evil, which is rampant in these evil times. Again, if it was an evil time when Jesus walked on this earth, it is ever so much more so now. But the day of the Lord is darkness and not light, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? Okay, there's no silver lining. Oh, yes, well, it's terrible, this, that, and the other. But there, you know, look for the good. Look for the silver lining. I was watching a program the other night, one that I've seen a couple times before. And it is about Jews in America. It's a Hallmark Hall of Fame. Programmer special, I think they refer to it as. But anyway, this matter, this young man in the prime of life, rabbi in the prime of life, dies. And the old rabbi says, you know, that there is a lesson in this. And in time to come, we will see what the gift in this is. The gift of this 39-year-old man dropping dead. The Lord God Almighty here says, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it, no silver lining, no gift, no upbeat lesson? I despise your feast days. What a thing for God to say. But you see, God is the one who created, who fashioned, who came up with the feasts. But again, the corrupt, the wicked, the power-happy religious leaders who prey upon the poor, who prey upon the widows, who prey upon the fatherless, who prey upon the ignorant, they come up with their particular interpretations, their celebrations, their particular take on these different things and their own commandments. I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. I will not smell the savor of your sacrifices. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Why is that? It's because of the wickedness of the people, including their religious leaders. Their religious leaders who are leading them into sin, leading them into rebellion against God, leading them into worshiping everything except God. As it is said in other places, I mean, the religious leaders, the Jewish hierarchy, going back to these times, was worshiping animals, was worshiping creatures, was worshiping the creation instead of the creator, was worshiping the sun and the moon and the stars and themselves. I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Originally, the offerings were always young, very young, lambs and goats and cattle, as well as doves, so forth. Always very young. But here, you know, they're fattening these beasts and selling them for a good profit as sacrificial animals. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. I happen to love music. And before I came to believe on the Lord, I loved beautiful pop music. You might think that's kind of an oxymoron, but it's not. Not the garbage of hip-hop and rap, noise to commit violent crime by, rape and murder by. Interestingly enough, it has finally come to be recognized that way by some. And I was broadcasting about that 30 years ago, approximately. Let me see, how long ago was it? 27 years ago. 27 years ago, 26 years ago. And what spurred me to do so was not only hearing the bombastic rap, so-called music, blasting out of vehicles in quiet town areas, but also a young woman of color creating a TV program about it. While I was creating, I was hosting a radio program and also wound up creating, hosting three television programs. And so I commented on it about this evil music. I liked her. In spite of that, I liked her. She seemed like a nice person, but she was promoting, she was championing, she was lionizing, celebrating this absolutely evil, aberrant music, so-called. This is a different matter here. I love worship music and praise music, but I love other music, but I just don't listen to it. But commonplace in Christian churches, contemporary Christian churches in this nation, is contemporary Christian praise and worship music. Some of it is beautiful, much of it is beautiful, or pleasant, or lovely, or what have you. And a fair amount of it is extremely non-scriptural, but in many churches, the worship service, the music service, ends up being a dominant part of the service that actually not only is the best part of the service, but is in so many cases key reason that people come. It attracts the people to come and can keep them coming even when there is so much else that is lacking. Here, God Almighty says, "Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials." Why would he say such a thing? And vials meaning like violins and so forth, violas, but not like the word vial. Why would he say such a thing as that? Well, in the New Testament with Jesus, we don't hear about praise music. We don't hear about worship music. We hear about a hymn being sung after the Last Supper, a hymn being sung, as in a hymn. I'm not saying we shouldn't have music, but in the modern American church, we exaggerate the importance of, and we emphasize the primacy of elements that are window dressing more than anything else, that are not supposed to be the principal components of worship of God. What about the priests? What about the priesthood that led the armies of Israel? That, you know, what about going around the walls of Jericho? Yes, there is a place for music. But here, these wicked, rebellious, grievously sinful people, they're still going through the motions of ceremonies, the motions of these sacrificial offerings of animals and the music. Oh, God will be pleased with that. And he says, take it all away because you are abomination. You are an offense to me. Take all of this away. None of this is acceptable to me. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Interestingly enough, just as the Sodomites and their Sodomite agenda and all of the LGBTQ forces have appropriated, stolen, perverted the rainbow, so too a certain notorious organization, call it what you will, it's a political action organization, it chose this scripture, but let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream, as its calling card, as it emblazons their extremely rich headquarters. And this organization has been synonymous with corruption. But it is as leftist as you can get. You must look beyond such things. You shall judge them by their fruits. And the fruits of that organization are evil. And it is complete, utter, profane hypocrisy that they use this as their catchphrase. But God says that in the place of the music, even very beautiful worship music, instead of that, execute righteous judgment and justice. Exercise mercy and loving kindness. Or ye shall have nothing from me but judgment. punishment. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? Have you? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch, or Molech, and Kion, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Molech and Baal, whom they sacrificed their newborn, firstborn babies to worship these devils, these demons. They did this after the custom of the heathen, pagan, devil-worshipping peoples who lived all around and about them. Therefore, says God, therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Again, oh no, this could not be referring to us. This is, you know, ancient history. This isn't relevant. This has no relevance to we people today. Heavens no. Really. No, what passes for relevant preaching today is, of course, something that is comfortable and easy. Comforting, pleasant, and enjoyable, and that does not offend people, does not keep them away, but instead attracts them, draws them to us, to our churches, because it's so winsome, right? Heavenly Father, holy God, mighty God, have thy way. Have thine own way, Lord. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord, in spirit and truth, in word and deed, in power and might. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly and account us worthy to stand before thee at thy coming, in Christ Jesus' name, who lives, who reigns, and who's coming again sooner than we think, sooner than we imagine, sooner than we expect. In Jesus' holy name, amen.